Welcome to this edition of Road Trippin' with RJ and Channing, aka Channing. I'm your host, Allie Clifton. Richard will be joining in a moment. Un momento. Is that how you say
just
that?
Just
un momento. I took French in high school, three years. We are going to have the Road Trippin' time machine. Boy, is it a great one. I say that every week, but I really feel like this tops it off. Coming up later in the episode, but for now we're going to start with, because you're rocking a Suns t-shirt, can I just say that I actually am a very big fan of purple and orange. That colorway is bomb.
It's the best colorway in the NBA.
Yes, okay, I will agree with that. The Suns announced they're bringing back their 90s sunburst jerseys this upcoming season. For fans, think the old, I love this, purple Charles Barkley jerseys.
Yeah.
Do you like that, Channing? Yes.
Love
okay.
that.
Okay. So I want your Road Trippin' Mount Rushmore of classic NBA jerseys, Channing.
I'm looking this up right now.
Oh, did you know that that's where I was going to go?
No, but I was going to make sure that I got the right. All right. Number one is the black 90s Suns jerseys. I have one.
Okay.
It was absolutely an honor to wear those jerseys. This is weird. My guy on the team was Dan Marley. I liked him. Dunder Dan.
Yep.
What is that? Eastern Michigan? I think he went Western.
Shout out Mid-American Conference.
Okay. Here we go.
The Mac.
Number two, obviously, is the Penny Orlando pinstripe jerseys. Got one of those. Just the shorts. Here's a weird one that people, now this is not indicative of my attitude towards him. It's just, I really liked those blue and green Minnesota Timberwolves jerseys.
Oh yeah. Yeah. The highlighter ones.
Yeah. No.
The ones that they brought back last season.
I think so. These things.
Their
those
city.
Colors.
Yep. Their city edition. Yeah.
Yes. Love those.
Okay.
Hold on. Give me a second. Another one that's probably not off the beaten path, but the old school Spurs, like the old school, Spurs jerseys. I'm a simplistic guy. Like the mm-hmm. Toronto Raptor on it was a lot for me.
I actually like that one.
Like even I know the old school Bulls, like Jordan's first couple of years, like those jerseys are more my jam. Oh boy, what was another cool ass jersey?
I mean, love the you already said it right, the Magic, the pinstripe, the
that one is dope. The most it was crazy. That and I know I'm missing a Nets jersey that was cool, but don't tell Richard that.
I was gonna say it was the one he just posted the other day.
Probably. No.
The red, white, and blue.
Yeah, the red, white, and blue ones are great. Also, this could be a throwback because it's almost 20 years ago. My rookie year on St. Patrick's Day, the Knicks and maybe it was Denver, maybe it was someone else, had green New York Knicks jerseys. Remember, like Chicago had green jerseys. The Knicks mm-hmm. had green. That was one of my favorites. I think I got it around here somewhere. But that's a tough
wow.
jersey.
You've got a list. You know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I got all my.
I was just going to say, do you have any of the jerseys from when you played? And
yeah,
what
I have
one was your favorite?
Every single colorway. Every single. Oh, hold on. There's a lot.
He's going to break it.
No, I'm not.
He's going to break it.
Okay. Oh, here we go. Look.
Wow.
These shorts.
Oh yeah, tight, tweet.
The tweet. The Phoenix Suns jerseys.
Oh yeah. Show your Cavs jersey.
Oh, how disrespectful! This top three, the Mamba City jersey for the Lakers was sick.
Why'd you say disrespectful?
Well, because I forgot it. I should have had that up there.
Oh, you should have had it in your list.
The red blazer jersey. Sick. Oh.
I don't think I know that one.
The Christmas colorway of the Cavs.
Cleveland.
Yes.
Yes. So, loved that
and
one.
And Golden State. Yeah. That cursive was the best ones.
Oh, I love that one.
Here goes the red blazer colorway. Tight.
Oh, guys.
There it is.
I want this to be on the audio. I apologize.
Richard is now joining in.
I literally
colorway sick.
Oh, is that the Minneapolis Lakers?
Yeah.
Wow, you forgot both awesome Laker ones. We're talking about
My bad. These were kind of tight. Yeah, the
Starburst 90s edition back. And so he's giving us his Mount Rushmore of favorite classic throwback jerseys.
Oh, the Phoenix Suns, the purple ones, like those are with the sun. Oh, those are just amazing. Retro.
Which is what's coming back.
Yeah.
Yes, because that was like, that is the equivalent, in my opinion, to the Nets ones that they're debuting.
Richard, do you have all the colorways of all the jerseys you played in? You played in a lot of teams. You don't?
I played a lot of teams, no. No.
I have every jersey from high school.
I think somewhere I might have like one jersey from each team.
What? I got like every colorway of every jersey.
The Nets ones I have like a few just because of all the years. The Cleveland one I have a bunch because that was towards the end, you know. But like I might have a jersey from Dallas.
Yeah, there were some cool jerseys from Dallas.
Some dope jerseys, but I'm just sadly like I'm not a memorabilia person. You know this. Like you guys have been to my house. Like there's not tons of like memorabilia shit around and like, oh, here's this ball and there's this other shit. It's like there's not that shit in my house. I have a few things. You know, that's it.
Okay, having said that, welcome to the party.
Guys,
could give us on a scale of 1 to 10 your mood right now.
You know what? I was sprinting to get back here, and I was like, look, Allie, I'm just going to be 3 more minutes. And people don't know, Allie's back is fucked up. Also, I want to go this
– Mine too.
Before the season starts, I am the most late person to this podcast consistently. I'm going to be so much better. That's my goal. And I want you guys to call me out every time I am late so everyone knows. Everyone knows from here on out. I'm going to be better because I apologize. I'm not being a good teammate.
I think you should donate a case of wine to each of us every time you're late.
I've recently started changing over my passwords to like from like one segment to a new, like, you know how it's like all of a sudden you just run out of passwords and it's like, all right, I need a new password. And then I've been gradually transferring all that password. So like the only time I log on to this fucking computer is, when we do this, like it closes and then it opens again. And so like, I don't remember the password because it's like, I do it once and it's like, but it's a variation of 3. So you sit there and you want to start fucking punching it. And I was like, dude, So that's, so my mood is better now that I'm here and I apologized. I'm sorry. I apologize.
Is he forgiven, Channing? We should
I forgive
have
him.
A call me out every time. Every time. That's how on time I'm planning on being.
Richard, do you really like High Noons?
High Noons are so awesome.
Yeah.
Are they?
Yeah.
I literally don't see them here in Oregon.
White Claws are bigger, better. I mean, seeing like bigger as in more popular. But if I had to drink one, I would pick High Noon.
You would pick a High Noon.
Yeah.
I agree. I agree with you. That's what you're on, a cider?
Yeah,
my buddy. This tastes like a fruit seltzer.
Portland Cider Co. Made with real apples. 100% Northwest apples.
Northwest apples. By the way, Dan Marley, graduate of Central. Fire up chips. Damn. Central Michigan. All right. Let's talk. Let's talk some NBA. Not that a whole lot has changed, but some has. Where would you guys like to start? Do you want to start with the Oklahoma City Thunder? Do you want to start with the overall consensus of the offseason that was for the NBA? Or would you like to talk about Donovan Mitchell first? Where would you guys like to start? Tell me and I'll set you up.
Let's start from let's go with what matters the most, right? Like, no offense, Chet wasn't going to move the needle for the Oklahoma City Thunder. He was going to be exciting to play. They were going to go from 20 wins to 25 wins. It's just they're not built like that.
That's still a big deal. That's a big deal.
It's a big deal for him. It's a big deal.
I actually remember not as set the bet and said they'd win 33 games and you were upset.
You're right. It wasn't going to impact anything in the NBA other than like the development of Oklahoma City. Like Donovan Mitchell moving impacts the NBA, right? I get what you're saying.
Kip.
Okay, so from the Chet situation, my question to you guys was, did it change your mind on how you felt about players playing
No.
Okay. Nah. Fine.
Think about how many players play in pro leagues.
As we play.
And one guy, and mind you, not even the Euro dudes are playing overseas, and only one guy, well, two guys got hurt. Gallinari, he has a knee, but he's older, and Chet. It was the only two dudes that got hurt all summer. So we're doing all right.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, so when it comes to Donovan Mitchell, we'll start there. According to ESPN reports, this dropping just not too long ago, the Knicks are signing guard RJ Barrett to a four-year rookie extension worth up to $120 million. Channing, you had something to say about that in general, but how does that affect the pursuit of Donovan Mitchell? Are the Knicks making the right move by extending Barrett, period? Thoughts?
Yes. I'll let Richard go because, I got my little opinions, but I'll let Richard go.
This is my thing. I get a lot of heat for like messing and talking trash about the Knicks at times. Jay Will, and I think I had seen it someplace else, Jay Will on First Take today goes, do you know this is the first rookie to sign a rookie extension with the Knicks since Charlie Ward in the 90s? Yeah. Like, people are always like, the Knicks fans are always like, oh, Knicks for clicks. People just always, oh, they just want to blah, 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 and they don't. It's like, oh, bro, you guys haven't re-signed one of your draft picks since the 90s. That's almost hard to believe. The Sacramento Kings not making the playoffs for 16 straight years, that's almost easily doable. That's easier done than the Knicks not re-signing a rookie since the 90s. Like, we re-signed two the year I got drafted. You got, like, the Knicks re-signed David Lee in your draft. Like, it's like, you know what I'm saying? Like, oh, no, they didn't re-sign David Lee. They sent him to Golden State. Yeah.
For 100.
David Lee ends up being, a two-time All-Star. So did they know what they were doing there? No, they didn't. Channing Frye ends up going and being one of the best three-point shooting bigs in NBA history. Didn't know what they were doing there. You know, it's like, but people want to be like, oh, the Knicks. No, your franchise has done stuff that we have not historically seen in professional sports. That being said, I like the signing of RJ Barrett. Everything else can go as far as I'm concerned. I would ideally like, well, you know, you got Brunson who's there. I like RJ Barrett, but everybody else is expendable. I'd like do the Minnesota really kind of messed things up. Minnesota, when they gave up as much as they did for Rudy Gobert, it set the market at a ridiculous rate. It set the market, well, if that's what Rudy Gobert is, what's Kevin Durant worth? What's Donovan Mitchell worth? Which would be exponentially more than that, but you're not going to get what you got from Minnesota. Minnesota, they overpaid and extended the market to a point of irrationality. So, like, who knows what the Knicks are going to do? Who knows? In my opinion, I'd like the RJ Barrett. I think he's a good young player, and I'm glad that they finally brought somebody back.
Think that Julius Randle is an incremental, is that the word I'm trying to say? Piece incremental. To what they're trying to build?
I think he can be, but I think he needs to be their third best player. I think he needs to be, if you're building a championship team, Julius Randle should be your third best player. He should be your X factor, not your best. Now, and I should always say that in the sense of like, you need to be building towards a championship. And I think like, you build Brunson, you bring in that, if you can bring in Donovan Mitchell, right? You know, whatever you got to do, like Donovan Mitchell shows up, how's Julius Randle going to handle that? This ain't his team. All those crazy threes and running the ball through him, that's not happening anymore. That ball is going to be in Donovan Mitchell and Brunson's hands. That immediately makes him less effective, right? When he's at his most effective, he has the ball in his hands, he's playing, he's dancing, he's doing all this stuff, and he can be a good player, right? But, like, the ball is going to be in Brunson, the ball is going to be in Donovan Mitchell, and it should be in RJ Barrett's hands. So, like, if that's the way they're going to play, there's not going to be a space for him. So to me, given already like you know, a little bit of grumpiness that happened last year, I don't see him being happy being the fourth option with the ball in
hand. Yeah.
From all going to an All-NBA.
Well, mm-hmm. I think it's funny that in none of these trade talks, you have a all-star, you have a guy who had crazy good years, and he's not being talked about at all as being traded. Right? So, okay, that's mm-hmm. also, that's good. But on the other side, that's bad. Right? Because, and we'll talk about Julius Randle stylistically. I think Julius is the best part of Julius's game is when he has the ball. He has not shown when he gets double teamed or when he has to play off the ball that he can be a all-star type player. Okay? And Richard makes a great point. This is not a knock on him as where he was or where he's going. It's what I have seen over the years. When he gets double teamed, he is null and void. Right? And that's why they paid RJ Barrett, because RJ can pass the ball, screen, comes off, shoots a three ball at a good clip, is young, is athletic, and plays the game in a way where it lends itself to his teammates. Julius is a mid-range, iso post, one-on-one guy. That does not work in the playoffs. We've seen it. Number two, no offense to RJ Barrett. I think it's a great gift. I think them putting a price on him, this is how the NBA works. If you have a rookie and he has talent, you need to give him an equal weight in money so that you may get something back eventually of equal weight. When he is just talent, you may get, if he what didn't get paid, you trade him for Donovan Mitchell. Donovan Mitchell busts or leaves. People go, well, you should have paid RJ and just kept him. You pay him, you make him happy, but you also go to Utah like, hey, here's $130 million, a young guy. We need $130 million back, and it makes sense. It makes sense to the fans. Also, New York has a big problem developing its young guys because not only their turnover in...
To say the least.
to say it nicely. Think about all the turnover between coaches, GMs, presidents, main players, right? Mike Brown and D'Antoni were the two best guys that were there. I think I said Mike Brown, right? Was it Mike Brown or was it? Yes.
Yeah. You said Mike Brown and D'Antoni.
But other than that, who's been their main guy? Melo? They have done a good job of developing RJ Barrett. Is RJ Barrett, do you think he's a guy that is going to attract more other A and B list players? Or is Donovan Mitchell going to attract A and B list players? Because for New York, they want to be entertained. Yes, you could develop. This is not Oklahoma City. This is not San Antonio. This is not those places that develop their young guys slowly. They want to win now. It's just how it is. New Yorkers want to win now. You get Donovan Mitchell, you're going to win. You're going to make at least eighth in the playoffs.
Get Donovan Mitchell. Yes. That's all we keep saying is that there is nobody on. And again, you can give up too much draft picks, in my opinion, because I think – if you're going to give up a ton of talent, your team might just be okay, right? So let's say you do make it to the seventh spot, right? Like, you know, maybe, you know, somebody sprains an ankle and you just barely miss out of the playoffs. You never know. So you don't want to give up all of your draft capital. He's not that good. Right. He's not Kevin Durant good. He's not Anthony Davis good. No, but he is fucking very good. He is a potential Hall of Famer good. He's already a three-time All-Star. Let him start getting up there to that 7, 8, 9-time All-Star. He's that marketable. He's that good. He's that consistent. So, like, you're talking about trading for a possible future Hall of Famer, right?
Who
like
that to be
me
there.
That's really on the table. And it's a possible. He's 26 years old.
Yeah.
He's 26 years old, and we're talking about a possible future Hall of Famer. That's what, like, where we're at.
Okay, so obviously the pressure is on, the heat is on. But if the deal doesn't get done, let's kind of wrap up this conversation with this. Where would you like to see Donovan Mitchell land? If it's not in New York, one. And two, is there any opportunity that he stays?
I think he'll stay this year because I think the teams that would take him would wait until after the draft and get him at a lower price than what it is. They want a new market. So, like, I think, to be honest, I think he would be great in San Antonio. Me personally, I think he would be great.
Yeah, but if they just got rid of, DeJounte Murray, I think it's because they're going to go on the tanking
to get that French cat. The French cat.
Right? Yeah, if you go with all due respect, to both those players, I don't think that that's a getting Donovan Mitchell instead of DeJounte Murray gets you like seven more
wins. You're starting sixth place in the Western Conference, Richard.
I agree, but I don't
think you're not trading. That's why I said after the draft.
You know what I'm saying?
Let him play this year out. See what the offers are. If you have Donovan Mitchell, let's say you get
poor Atlanta. I like DeJounte next to Trae Young.
Do you think DeJounte next to Trae Young, if you put them on each other's shoulders, does that equal Giannis or KD? Nope. Richard.
Could he fit in Cleveland?
No,
next to Darius?
I'm not touching anything about what Cleveland is doing.
Yes, because Darius is
Darius.
Yes, Darius is a playmaker. And he can shoot. Don't get me wrong. I think that's kind of like Conley. You look at Mike Conley handled the ball. He was the point guard. He handled the ball. He would drop dimes, and then he would let Donovan do his pick and rolls to score. And I think Garland would do the exact same thing. He would drive. He would allow him to score. And when Donovan's just more of a scorer, he can play make. But he's more of a scorer, where I think Darius would be the person tasked with getting. So I think it would work. I don't think that's going to happen. What you would have to give up, you'd have to give up Mobley, or they would ask for something along those lines, and you ain't doing that
too
shit.
Too much of what they need.
Yeah. Oh. You ain't giving up Mobley Charlotte. For nada.
LaMelo Ball, Donovan Mitchell.
But who?
And then you can figure it out.
No, they're missing one very big asset. He
might be gone for a little bit. Yeah, he might be gone for a little bit.
They're just like, yeah, he's got bigger issues.
On that note.
Yeah, that he needs to. So their trade value isn't what you would normally think of their roster.
Ooh. Yeah. Okay, on that note, let's talk the latest I think this happened after we met last week with the Lakers. Bringing in Patrick Beverley. Sending out Talen Horton-Tucker and Stanley Johnson to the Jazz, given their current luxury tax situation at $32.2 million. Does this change your thinking, anything in general, about what the roster will look like come opening night? Do you guys see Russ being on the team, given all of this, or do you think there's still another move?
I think Russ has to come like a bat out of hell the first 25 games, and somebody's going to go, give me that guy. But right now, everyone's like, nah, we cool.
Yeah. Per today, as we're recording this, a report came out that both Pat and Russ have already spoke to one another.
Yeah.
And that Darvin has had his conversations about the two playing alongside one another next season.
Like, this is what's
going on. Can I just say it, Richard?
Like, the NBA.
I don't like the makeup of this team. Well, I don't like it. I think it's gross. No, I really think it's gross. The makeup of the team.
Why?
Nothing.
It's
how?
Better than
how?
It was last year.
You don't
it's
have a bench.
Better than it was last year.
But
they got younger.
They got younger.
By 8 years, average.
Well, because they didn't bring back Carmelo. No Dwight
they
Howard.
Don't, who's,
you know.
Well, obviously, you have to get rid of the older cast right now, to get today, a younger average
I don't like
number,
the makeup
of course.
Of their team.
Fair,
You're
fair.
Asking well, so not, much.
But the makeup of their team
okay,
is not
see,
done
okay.
yet. That's
so
the
I
issue.
Like
the
it.
Makeup of their team hey. Is not
done. Yeah, I,
that's like somebody handing you a burger and like half ketchup on it.
I'm going to get sensitive because I just think at the end of the day,
have
you are
met
just
me?
Hate.
Have you
yes,
met me?
Yes. Yes. Yes.
If I don't like it, I don't
what
like
are you talking
it?
About?
Hey, listen.
That's all you do. We're
I'm not saying anybody. What?
This is the same man that said Michael Jordan just scored the ball. All we're here to do is hate.
Personal. I'm not talking about all those players. I'm saying I like Patrick Beverley. I think he's fucking so entertaining. It makes my job the best. Braun is Braun. AD is special. Yeah. Haven't seen AD play in a long time. Russ last year is a dynamic, one of the most athletic, best guards that has ever played the game. He was boo-boo last year. He was available, but he wasn't his right self.
I want to say this and I'll be 100% respectful.
You're being mean.
I'm not talking about the injuries. I'm not talking about the injuries, dude, because I will never fault him for that, bro. Like, AD, I wish you nothing but 100% help. But when he has played, when he has been on the court, let's just judge him purely off that. I have not seen AD since the bubble. Like, the player that he has been when he's been on the floor, right, for the last 2 years, when he was going into that NBA season after he left New Orleans, the way he played pre-bubble, where he believed he was up for defensive player of the year, the best defensive player in the league, then the way he played in the bubble, where 3 games in, people were like, oh shit, AD's about to win finals MVP if Brown don't fucking turn it up. Right? Right? Like that's Anthony Davis. That's who we had seen. That's who we had seen mature. That's who we have seen grow. He was the number one big in the league, in my opinion. Even though Giannis got MVP and this and that, like he was he was that guy. Right? Because Giannis had won the MVP but fallen short in a very drastic way since he has then proven himself. But Anthony Davis, we have not seen him since the bubble. There's been chunks where he has been on the floor for 10, 15, 20 games. You know what I'm saying? It's like there has been these chunks of games where he's been on the floor or Bron would be out and Anthony Davis was, you know, the main player. How about this? When he goes into Milwaukee and we see what Giannis does and just like looks like he's ready to destroy him. That's what y'all want to see. Because we've seen what Giannis looks at him like, oh, I'm like, yeah, and I'll be respectful because I want people before Laker fans start going crazy. And I'll say this respectfully. The way that Giannis looks at other bigs is the same way that Kobe used to look at other wings. Right? When Kobe would show up and I played with Vince and it was T-Mac and it was whoever, anybody else that they thought in those early days were like, oh, the comparable, the next Jordan Ayers, all these guys. Like Kobe would look at that like it was a personal challenge, right? Against each one of them. Every time we played against Vince. And Giannis does the same thing. Giannis looks at Anthony Davis and Jokic, not in a mean, like, I hate you way, but in a like, oh, you're the person that you're trying to compare me to. This is the person that people are saying is the other best big in the league. Well, let's go at it and see.
I think like, for Channing. People listening, these criticisms come from, and these observations come from this. We get paid to play 82 games. Injuries happen. Skip injuries. When you're injured, it is your job to come back and play. If you are not ready to play at your best and you don't play at your best, there's no what if. Those stats and what you do are on the books already. Okay? Those stats are what you do during those games. If you don't play any game, let's say one game you have 50 points. Oh, look at this dude. And you don't play the next game. Are we talking about you not playing or are we talking about you at 50? So your body of work is what we have to judge. There's not a lot. Except when we look past in the bubble in a situation that may, hopefully, knock on wood, never happen again in the history of mankind. Okay? So, can Anthony Davis do this? I don't know. But to get back to what I'm saying, I just look at the Lakers roster. Now, here's one thing I will say. Anytime you have LeBron James on your team, this is a fact. Whether you have Jamario Moon or Ilgauskas or Channing Frye and Matthew Dellavedova, or Mario Chalmers and Eddie Curry, you are expected to win a championship. And if you look at this roster, facts, if you look at this roster and you can say, you know what, all of a sudden, all the quote unquote, which I don't know, it looked like there were chemistry issues. What is it? What system are you running through Anthony Davis? Because let's say you have training camp. Because remember, we had training camp with Derrick Rose where he was our starting point guard. Balling. Bow. Boom. Cha-cha. I said, oh, that boy back. Boop. Gone left. Done. I said, we ran our whole training camp based on D. Rose and LeBron's relationship. Now he's not there. We have to readjust. So who's the guy you're going to run the offense to? Is it the 40-year-olds? Is it Russ? Does the team trust Russ? Where's Russ head at? Like, these are big questions.
Last year they had
They said it's going to be ran through in the meetings before LeBron's contract extension. There was a conversation with Darvin Ham and LeBron inside those closed doors about the offense being ran through Anthony Davis.
Is not available
this year.
Where's the offense being run from? If he's not up to snuff of championship level when he has not had consistent time to play, what happens to the Lakers? That's a lot.
It's
a lot to ask.
And listen to this. It's not being run for anybody that has anything. It's not being run through Anthony Davis because he has proven to be the most dominant player. It's being run through Anthony Davis as a way
you can't take no days off.
It's like, oh, motherfucker. And I respect it. It's like, here we go. Take that ball 50 times.
Popeyes came out with the chicken sandwich?
We're gonna set the tone. This ain't being run through Russ. This ain't being run through Bron. I want to make sure everybody in this building knows. I want to make sure everybody knows that this is being run through Anthony Davis for the sake of Anthony Davis. And I respect that. But that said, Allie, just confirmed what I was saying. We haven't seen the aggressive, dominant Anthony Davis. So when you tell me that they are saying that they're going to run the offense through him, everybody here knows they're running through the offense through him because they're trying to get him back to be that. And that's how they're going to try and do it this year, by running the offense through him.
All right. So to sum up this offseason so far, now that we've seen the majority of the moves being made, who's had
it's
the
one
best
team?
Who's had
There's
the
only
worst
one offseason? Team.
Oklahoma City. Yeah.
Minnesota. Because everyone was like, what the fuck? And it's either going to pay off or it's going to be absolute boo-boo for the foo-foo. It's right. I mean, literally, they go, give me that guy.
I think Oklahoma City. Oklahoma City. Chet is one. He is such a unique talent. And I think he's such a great talent. I think he's got a chance to be a really good player. See that kind of go before, that's the worst. Nobody else, like, you know, I think the Clippers had a great offseason because they're going to get Kawhi back. Not many
Boston.
People are getting
we totally forgot player, right? about you know? Gallinari being hurt early might help them later. He's getting older, usually has injury problems. So unless he has to play early on the season, comes back, no pressure. Brogdon is a solid pickup next to Marcus Smart. Physical guy, doesn't really need numbers, but just going to play ball the right way. It's another body to go at. If you got to play like Kyrie, or you got to play, you know, Kevin Durant or Giannis and Kevin or Chris Middleton. I thought Boston made great moves to get some vets in there, get some leadership to like calm the team down at times. But people who are thirsty, they brought thirsty guys in, like guys that want to, you know, sometimes you get a little hangover from going to the finals. We didn't win, but we were there. And then all of a sudden you bring these guys like, yo, let's go back. You're like, yeah, let's go back. Atlanta, I'm excited to watch.
Bro, are we gonna name all the teams? She asked who had the best and who had the worst, and you started going down the fucking Eastern and Western Conference.
The worst? Yeah, it's Minnesota.
The worst?
Sorry.
You go, agree with me. Okay.
I know Minnesota has the best Minnesota and the worst. One? Because you think, like I said, it's either going to really work out, and everyone's like, oh, man, let's go two bigs, or they're like, what in the fuck were y'all thinking? Now you ain't got no picks.
Well, again, Minnesota ain't re-signing. Minnesota ain't
they rolling the dice. Ages,
so you got to roll the dice.
Pass line.
So you're going Minnesota best and worst, and Richard, you have Oklahoma City worst. Best was who?
Best? Who did I say best?
Clippers.
Minnesota.
Clippers. You had Clippers.
I had Minnesota as best, but Clippers is a close second because they get Kawhi Leonard back. right? And that immediately makes them contenders. So like no team is going from not out to contend, like from like out or eight seed to contenders.
Clippers.
No one else is doing that. Like, and it's like because of the guys on their roster. Right? Yeah, but as I'm saying, the Clippers are going to go from the eighth seed to literally a contender. If someone were to tell you Kawhi and Paul George and the Clippers were to win a championship with T. Lou this year, I don't think that would be like mind blowing or crazy. So like that just shows you they weren't even in the conversation to potential like contenders. Like
question for you,
just by getting healthy.
What is the definition of a good season for Minnesota? Like, what would you go? Damn. Okay, that was worth it. Second round for your future.
Second round and play well. Second round and play competitive because in my opinion, ultimately, when you think about Anthony Edwards, if they believe he can be a D-Wade type, if they believe that he can keep growing, you know, Karl Anthony Towns is an all-NBA player. Rudy Gobert is an all-NBA player. If he can turn into an all-NBA player, you still got D'Angelo Russell. Like, you got some other guys. I still think they need to figure out the point guard spot. They're not having Beverly is going to hurt them more. Even though that you might get annoyed with him, he's such an energy guy that I think like you forget how much that is sometimes manifested in one person, even if it is annoying. So I just think that if he can keep growing to an all-star player, you know, then they're good.
For all those things said, I don't think that you can then show up the next season and be exactly where you were last year.
I mean, but showing growth.
I think
growth,
you have to show some sort may, of.
It, something, Utah like showed growth, and then they just.
Yeah.
They, like, were 6 foot in fifth grade and just stopped growing.
Yeah.
But that's why I think when you say second round, that's not just giving them the expectation to show growth in the regular season, but yet growth in the postseason where I think Utah struggled to show.
Yeah, Phoenix went to the second round this year. Mind you, this season was a disappointment, but like think about the teams that you're going to run into in the second round. You're going to run into the Lucas. You're going to run into, you know, the Phoenix Suns. You're going to run into some teams. You know what I'm saying? You're going to run into some teams in that second round. So like it ain't going to be – if you can get there and lose in six
that makes
to
sense.
Phoenix, it ain't nobody really like – you know, it's like, okay, cool.
Yeah,
make it respectable. All right.
All right, we are heading into our road trip and time machine, and we've got a good one for you, as I said at the beginning of this episode. But first, we want to tell you about a partner of ours and a product that we all use every single day. It clearly has us juiced up for this episode. It is not lotion. It is Athletic Greens. It is AG1. We all wanted to focus on better energy and immune systems. And that is exactly what Athletic Greens has done for each one of us. Consistently, we take it. It's packed with 75 different high-quality vitamins, minerals, whole food-sourced superfoods, and even probiotics. That one is one of my favorites. And it's very easy and efficient. We take one scoop a day and 8 ounces of water. I chug mine down just to be quick, easy, out the door. So we want to make it easy for you guys as well. Athletic Greens is going to give you a free 1-year supply of immune supportive vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. You know the drill. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/roadtrippin and take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance. Again, it's athleticgreens.com/roadtrippin and get started today.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
All right, do you guys want me to start with the sound or something that your good pal, Gilbert Arenas, said on a podcast recently?
Oh, I saw that.
Gilbert. Because it actually has something to do with Giannis.
For saying that. And so I just digressed. Enough roasting.
All right. So, okay. So our guy.
Before he won a championship and before he had 50 in the finals game, I was like, Giannis has gotten. I had the same thought. But I was like,
you had the same thought.
Okay, what's next? What? But anyways, go. And I have my thing. Go ahead.
Okay. So Gil on his podcast said Giannis doesn't yet fully understand the game of basketball, and later doubled down on his Instagram by asking, has he added any skills to his game? And if you do read Gil's post, he goes through and asks in terms of skills, et cetera.
He's not, he's just
well,
not that.
How do you feel about it?
Well, let me say this. I don't, like Gilbert is, it's a more intelligent question than I think people are saying it. I think if you break down Giannis's game and the growth of experience and the, like, one thing about basketball IQ, which we've seen him improve on year after year and become a better playmaker, and his teammates around him have to complement the areas in which he lacks. That's why Chris Middleton raising his game. That's why Drew Holiday getting brought in, and Brooke Lopez. Like, these are guys that complement, you know, Giannis. So like his game then had to improve because you had people around him that closed off his deficiencies. His game had it to improve based off his decision making and his IQ and his understanding. And I think that that's a supreme level that I think you underestimate how much he's improved. So Gilbert's being a little dick, and he might break it down. Like, is his 3-point shot going to be important, better? Is it? It's like, bro, okay, we get it, but let's talk about wins. Let's talk about impact on games. Let's talk about intensity, defense, offense. There's not a better two. He is the best two-way player on the planet, and it ain't even close. It ain't even close, right? Say what you want about Joel Embiid, and like Joel Embiid, like over the last few years, like it's a great player. Giannis has been more available. Giannis has the same type of impact on the offensive, defensive end. Like, Embiid is right there. Embiid is right there, but it's Giannis.
I think in today's skill game, right, we look at some of the most skilled players in the NBA. Most of them are not winning championships, right? Most of them are not MVPs. Most of them can't do it on both sides. The greatest gift is having self-introspection. Now, Giannis has supposedly, I don't see everyone else's workouts. Giannis supposedly has one of the craziest work ethics in the league. Let's just be real. He may not be this elite skill guy, right? Like, Shaq wasn't an elite skill guy. Shaq had his two or three moves. He absolutely dominated and went down in history and is still in history. One of the most physically dominating human beings ever.
I feel like that's a knock. That's a knock on some of the big guys. That, like, it was very something we saw with James Harden. It's like, I wish I could just run around and dunk it. I wish I could do that. I wish I could just, it doesn't take any skill to dunk. I have to do, and it's like, that's saying that he's not working or that he doesn't have to learn the game in a different way that you do, in ways he has an advantage, in a way. Do you understand what would happen if 7-foot Giannis can shoot a step back three from 40 feet? Like, no one would ever win a game again.
But why?
Right? So
why?
Like, everybody has skills.
If you play cards, right? Let's say you go to Vegas and the odds are stacked against you and you play cards. And every single year, every single time you go, you're winning, and it's a dirty method, right? You're not hitting on 14. You're not paying attention to what everyone else is doing. You're playing your numbers. Giannis is playing his numbers. That's his number. He's playing his numbers, and he's winning. He's winning so uniquely, simply. He's winning so simply unique. It's ridiculous. What you gonna do?
He's won me over. You're not. The only thing that I will hold, the only criticism that I will ever give Giannis is the standard that he has set for himself. Because the standard that he has set for himself of like 50 ball in a finals. So let Giannis go out there and score 22 points in a closeout game and they lose. I'm going to hold him accountable to that standard that he set for himself, right? There is no more like, this is what I believe Giannis can do. Giannis has reached the space where he is so special. He has reached heights that very few have ever reached. So that's the standard we hold him to. You're not going to get me to criticize Giannis. Is Giannis going to work on his game? Did he add a jumper? Did his free throw percentage? It's like, bro, I judge Giannis by the way he performed on the courts in the biggest moments because he's done it before.
I may not agree with their decisions, but those four players are Bron, Steph, KD, and Giannis. After that, I can say something about somebody else, but those four, what are you going to say? You can't emulate him.
Yeah. Noted. All right, we'll finish with this one. This is from episode 110, one of the most liked episodes, if you will.
You think I was going to lead our team in scoring when I first got there?
No.
Hell no.
After 2 weeks of the open run? Yes. After 2 weeks of the open run? Yeah. Yes, I did. I watched
a practice and I said, and Coach O said, Gilbert, stop driving baseline. And so Gilbert proceeded every single time to drive baseline, even if somebody was trying to stop it. He would throw the ball in between somebody's legs, run out of bounds, still get the ball, and dribble it all the way out.
Yeah.
He was doing stuff.
Were you like a coach's hilarious. Nightmare or coach's
nightmare.
Dream?
Yes.
Nightmare.
Yeah, dream
don't
or a nightmare?
Fucking lie.
Yeah. Okay, in a sense, but I worked hard, so they had to like, they had to look past that. You know, it's like, it's not like I talked back. I just did what I was going to do.
No, that's not true. Gilbert was the most sensitive guy of all time.
For sure.
Thank you.
Episode 110 with Gilbert Arenas and Nick Young. That was a good episode.
I think that's, you know, if we have our Mount Rushmore, that's definitely our you know, our on our Mount Rushmore of episodes.
In the NBA?
But Gil,
or in
as
college?
A basketball player, is not on your Mount Rushmore.
No. At Arizona yesterday. Yes, he was a bad man. He wasn't even that good at Arizona. Like, he was very good. Like, the Gilbert All-NBA Gilbert we saw, he wasn't that, but he was different. Like,
yeah, Gilbert's brain is wired differently
basketball
than a lot of people. Where, like, I remember somebody, I knew somebody who was working for the Wizards, and he was giving himself tendonitis because all of a sudden he was like, you know what? I want to make 56,000 shots this month. And would just sleep in the gym. Didn't go home for a month.
He's an idiot. No.
That's an understatement.
I mean,
that's...
heard him say he would work hard.
No. He would try. I think.
Yeah. Because everyone's like, "Well, I'm working hard." He was like, "Well, you're not 100,000 shots working hard."
It was great. Like, he beat Deshaun Stevenson. Deshaun had to shoot NBA threes. And Gilbert shot college threes one-handed and outshot him. It's on camera. Yeah, Gilbert shot like college threes one-handed, and then Deshaun Stevenson was able to shoot normal NBA threes, and he outshot him. This is before all the social media and everybody's posting
dark.
All their clips and workouts and stuff, bro. You don't want
to.
You
yes.
Like, yes. He was trying to outwork
even
Kobe.
In college,
he was trying to outwork Kobe.
Gilbert,
that's
I would
Gilbert
go try
was.
To sneak back to the gym at night. Gilbert was dribbling with one hand, doing moves with one hand in the dark. So he couldn't see the ball around McHale Center when I was a freshman. Like, with no hoops up. So it wasn't like, let me dribble and then shoot. He was just doing it around and around and around. Like, his motor for basketball is wildly, and that's where his attitude towards other players come from, because he sees it from a skill point of view and takes a step back. But it's hard for Gilbert to comprehend that Giannis can be so good so simply, and he may work on it, but he's not going to be elite. He's not going to be elite at free throws. Not going to shoot 90. Why the fuck? Let's be real. Why the fuck should Giannis shoot threes? He's a center. So what are you doing? You're 1 for 3, 1 for 4? Go that way.
Yeah. Yeah, but yeah, little guys that want to complain. Meanwhile, Kareem has shot made one three-pointer, all-time leading scorer. Shut up. Yeah.
Boom. And on that note, mic drop. Next time we will be together, a lot of our viewers love it when we come together as one. Will be in the studio at the Wynn Las Vegas, the Blue Wire Studios. So with that said,
there we go.
Go Suns.
Taking our shot.
It's another edition of Road Trippin'.
I don't have the Rams in the playoffs.
Oh, brother.
I don't. Stafford's tendonitis in his elbow scares me. They're talking about it as a potential baseball injury. Like, that's a question that's been asked.
Like, I'm like, thrower's arm.
Like, is this tendonitis? Is he going to need like Tommy John surgery or something? I don't know. It worries me. It really does that he's being held out of team drills. And he's saying that he's fine, but like, clearly he's not fine, because if he was fine, no one would be talking about this, right? So,
right.
It concerns me that we could see a arm fatigued Stafford this year with just a weird, mysterious injury already. And maybe I'm just overreacting, but it makes me cautious.
I think that's valid logic. I guess I'm not ready to put him out of the playoffs for that, but I could definitely see a world where if Stafford's arm is all messed up, they don't make it.
Or at least like they start off the season slow.
Or end the season slow, like maybe he gets maybe he's at his best right now. And then as you spend the entire season throwing it, it gets worse.